G'day, it's Phil Edwards, Vision CEO here, with a quick invitation to become part of this amazing beacon of hope called Vision. Together we can put our love into action to help people of all kinds build or rebuild their lives on the truth of God. Please consider the part you can play during our upcoming Visionathon appeal, remembering that it's your support that makes Vision possible, including this podcast.
A biblical perspective on life, culture and current events. This is 2020 on Vision.
Well, you might have been following the news reports about Australia's response to the conflict between Israel and the terror organisation Hamas in Gaza. Well, the recent tragic killing of an Australian aid worker along with six of her colleagues in Gaza has rightly drawn the criticism of the Australian government, even though initial reports were that it was accidental. But there are some growing concerns that Australia's response has been one-sided towards Hamas and premature calls for a ceasefire and a two-state solution. The imbalance because of an earlier death of an Australian Israeli that failed to attract the same response. Well, Barbara Miller is joining us from Cairns in North Queensland. Barbara and her husband Norman are founders of the Centre for International Reconciliation and Peace, and they're also founders of the Indigenous Friends of Israel. Barbara, a special welcome along to 2020.
Thank you, Neil. Good to be with you and your listeners.
Barbara, just before we get into the nitty-gritty here, there might be people be thinking, well, here's an Indigenous voice concerned about Israel, but this is something that is actually quite historic, and you've even authored a book about William Cooper, who was a pro-Israeli Indigenous man. Give us your insights here, because the Aboriginal community, your husband Norman, who's an Indigenous man, you're white woman, black heart, but there is this real feeling amongst Indigenous people that those who are doing it tough in Israel right now, there's a real sense of concern, isn't there?
Yes, so amongst Indigenous people, there has always been a support for Israel because Jewish people are the Indigenous people of the land. We have seen the pro-Palestinian lobby in Australia capture some Indigenous leaders, mostly non-Christian ones, to sort of say that they are the real Indigenous people and that Israel are a settler occupier nation, which is simply not true, because the Jewish presence in Israel goes back about 4,000 years, and the Palestinian presence is only in the last few hundred years.
Let's come back to this issue, loss of life. None of us wants to see that. An accidental loss of life from the aid worker. You and Norman have had concern that there's a bit of an imbalance here. How do you describe it?
It's absolutely shocking, Neil. I am extremely concerned, and so is Norman, about Australia's position, because it's so hostile to Israel and unfairly and prematurely judging Israel. So, of course, no one wants to see anybody killed accidentally or deliberately. There was a Jewish Australian living in Israel in one of the kibbutzes that was shockingly murdered on October 7, Gilad Kibboni, and the Australian government barely gave a murmur about that. They sent condolences to the family, but they did not complained to the Palestinian authorities. Even when Penny Wong went there months later, she didn't and met with them, she didn't raise it. But no one wants to see, that was purposeful, that was deliberate. No one wants to see accidental deaths of aid workers, and the unfortunate death of Zomi Frankham, one of those aid workers, the Australian government immediately reacted as if it was a war crime and wanted answers before the Israel government even had a chance to do it, and denounced it. And yet Australia has been accused of war crimes in Afghanistan, East Timor and Iraq, and has never really held people into account for it, despite the Brereton report. So there's a real a lack of balance. It really reeks of anti-Semitism and hostility to Israel.
So accountability is the issue here. And the Australian government wanting to hold the Israeli government to account, but not holding the same accountability standard for anything that's happened on the other side from Hamas. Is that the real imbalance here?
Yes, and that's been the case all along since October 7. So even before Israel launched any defence, self-defence after October 7, Penny Wong was already criticising Israel.
What do we make of the thought of war crimes here? Because we'll know from conversations on this program that while Israel is held to account by international standards, it does seem to be that Hamas is not held to account because they're working with a Sharia way that they do their warfare, which is not in accordance with what the Israelis are held to. What are your thoughts here about all parties being examined for war crimes?
Oh, obviously, if there's any war crimes done by anybody, they should be examined and held to account. But there's been no cries from the Australian government about holding Hamas to account for the war crimes of October 7, including the 134 hostages that are still in Gaza. Unfortunately, many of them are probably dead, because the latest report has been that one reason Hamas has not agreed to a ceasefire, that even for the 40 people in the categories of children, women, elderly and men over 50 who are sick, it actually can't fulfill those categories, most likely because most of those people are dead.
I know you have drawn attention to some of the imbalance in media reports. So media reporting that the Israeli ambassador to Australia, Amir Maimon, would be hauled in to explain the issue around the accidental death of that aid worker. But disrespectful ways of treating the Israelis. What are your thoughts here?
Oh, absolutely. That was very disrespectful about talking about hauling in the ambassador from Israel to Australia, Amir Maimon. I think that's disgraceful. I think an Australian diplomat would not want to be treated that way by another government.
And thoughts from you for what some would say is a premature restoration of funding to UNRWA, UNRWA. Thoughts about the...
Absolutely appalling, because it's been on record for many, many years that the Australian government, by funding UNRWA, has been funding terrorism of Hamas. And we know the leaders of Hamas live in luxury in Qatar, while the people are starving because Hamas steals the funding money. And also UNRWA infrastructure was used for the terror attack on October 7, plus 15 employees actually took part in the October 7 slaughter. So the Australian government, you know, they're using our taxpayer money to fund terrorism. And I think that's absolutely disgusting. They could be giving it to the Red Cross. and other UN agencies that look after refugees.
Let me ask you thoughts on calls for a ceasefire, because this is very controversial insofar as Israel's right to defend itself in the face of an aggressor. But there appear to be a lot of calls for a ceasefire and almost blaming Israel for not actually taking that sort of action. Where are your thoughts here?
Well, there's been negotiations going on for weeks about a temporary ceasefire of at least 6 weeks. However, the one that's not been agreeing to it, and the media has been portraying it as Israel is the one not agreeing to it. So I think that's an issue. But look, while it would be good to have a temporary ceasefire so that the hostages could be released, and not 40 hostages, all hostages, and not in exchange for 900 prisoners, some of which are terrorists. But in terms of a permanent ceasefire, that cannot be countenanced until Hamas has been dealt with so that they cannot continue the attacks like they did on October 7, because Hamas leaders have promised to do October 7 over and over and over again. So there can't be a ceasefire until they have been defeated and they are held to account for October 7.
Well, Barbara, your voice certainly does represent a lot of Indigenous Australians, Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islanders, you and Norman, based in Cairns in North Queensland, founders of the Centre for International Reconciliation and Peace, not afraid to speak up when it comes to issues like this, founder too of the Indigenous Friends of Israel. And for listeners...
And Neil, I really have to say something very urgently before we finish. In my prayer time this morning, the Lord was showing me that Australia has now aligned itself spiritually and politically with the enemies of Israel that it talks about in Psalm 83, when they say that they want to wipe Israel off the map, so Israel is no longer... named as a nation. And unfortunately, that is bringing judgment spiritually upon our nation of Australia. So it is very, very serious. So I urge all Christians to pray about that. And I just want to let you know that There Are Never Again is now rallies of Christians against anti-Semitism. The Brisbane one is on June 9th, and people can go to the Never Again Is Now website so they can register for rallies all over Australia.
Okay, there's a Never Again Is Now website, and you can also connect with Norman and Barbara at indigenousfriendsofisrael.org, indigenousfriendsofisrael.org. Barbara Miller, thanks so much for your insights today on 2020.
Thank you very much, Neil. Much appreciated.
Thanks for taking time to listen to this audio on demand from Vision Christian Media. To find out more about us, go to vision.org.au.